so we must leave our land, forget all our hopes and plans, and sail far away across the sea. We pray to keep our self-respect as tears fall upon the salty deck. We watch our beloved land fade away.
Everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR, the transmitting jewel of the South. Glad to have you in here. Got a great one for you. Tonight, the titlement of our message will be, Was David of Jewish Blood? Now think about that. Everybody believes that David was a Jew. Practically everyone. But after tonight, when we review the scriptures, and the Bible said, yea, let Yahweh be true, and every man a liar. You see, dogmas and traditions of acceptance has long been the standard of belief systems in the world, and one of the most puzzling aspects of the scriptures is the bloodline of the Messiah. Now, you can trace David, just like the Bible says, to the throne of David, and then Christ back to David. Well, if the Bible would agree, let me read you a verse of scripture. You mark this well in your Bible. It's in the book of Psalms, 132, verse 11. Yahweh hath sworn unto David, he will not turn from it. It's just as plain as day. Of the fruit of thy body. Now, how plain is that? That means that Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, would actually come descending from David's flesh. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And in mercy shall the throne be established. And he, the Messiah, shall sit upon the throne in truth in, listen to this now, the tabernacle or the flesh of David, judging and making righteousness. Now, the Redeemer will come from the bloodline and the lineage of David. Now, the verses that I just quoted is just a few of the many. We could give you more, but for the sake of 1 hour in a 3-hour message, we'll try to condense and build a gestalt around the thought of the bloodline of the Messiah. Now, the Bible said for you to study, to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you take something for granted, for instance, if you believe that David was Jewish, you may just have a problem with my message tonight as we go back in the lineage, unbroken now from the Messiah, the one that is called in the New Testament Jesus Christ. We're going to carry him back to the blood body descending of David. Now, to do that, we've got to find out where David himself came from in his blood. Was Abraham a Jew? Was Jacob a Jew? Well, you'll say, well, of course he was, Pastor Buddy. I don't have to study to know that. Well, if you believe that both of those fellows were Jewish blood, you may have a shocking awakening coming to you, and you deserve it. If you haven't studied any deeper into the scriptures, and if you haven't prophetically learned, and learned well, that the Bible would tell us, it should, and if it does, why does everybody believe that he was Jewish? When I have a $5,000 reward for anybody that can prove that David was Jewish, that Abraham was Jewish, that Jacob was Jewish, that Isaac was Jewish. You see, we just take those things for granted. We believe believe that the Jews crossed the Red Sea, we're told. I hear, supposedly, learned, qualified, experienced teachers, pastors, evangelists, so on and so forth, that cries their voice into the audiences around the world. And they ignore the most important question of the ages. Was the bloodline of David, who was in the bloodline of Christ from the tribe of Judah, to be qualified that then Christ was a Jew? And ladies and gentlemen, the answer to that may surprise you. If we go to 1 Samuel 17 and 12, it says, now David was the son of that Ephrathite, Jesse. Now, we examine Jesse and the lineage and the offspring. We find that Jesse himself was an Ephraimite rather than a Judite. The word Ephrathite is Strong's number 673. An Ephraimite or an Ephrathite means foolishness or fruitfulness. An inhabitant or descendant of Ephraim, and an inhabitant of Bethlehem. Now, what Bethlehem are we talking about? Bethlehem, Judea, or Bethlehem, Ephratah, where the word Ephraimite, or the word Ephrathite, comes from? A descendant of Ephraim. My, my, if that is true, we find this in the bloodline, and everybody believes that the bloodline of the Messiah traces back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that they were all Jewish. Where do we get that? Where in the Bible is that written? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not trying to confuse you or amuse you or lose you. We're trying to save you. Do a thorough search on the bloodline. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, somebody must have known, because the scribes and the Pharisees, and we're warned in the Bible to beware of them, not to take everything that they say for the gospel, that we ought to examine everything they say or hold everything in their sayings as suspect. Let me give you a little discourse here in Genesis 49:10, where we're taught that Christ was descended from Judah. And here's why that they think that. In 49:10, we have Jacob. We're having him given prophetic utterance to his sons. Judah, here, we find that he gave this prophecy in the 10th verse of Genesis 49. Here's what it said. The scepter. Now everybody knows what scepter means. It's a rod that is supposed to belong to a hand of a king. And therefore, the lawgiver would be from Judah. But that's not what it says. You know, the Bible says that Judah was basically, if you study Judah in the Bible, you'll find some interesting things about this character. And everybody that believes that all of Israel sprang from the Jewish bloodline, including David, will have to actually examine themselves to see whether they're in the faith. Now, that's what the Bible said to do. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Turn from the herd mentality, you know, following those people that seem right, or a large church or a large denomination, and with the advent of Scofield Bibles. Now, Mr. Scofield himself was a Jewish bloodline descended, and he wrote some instructions in the Bible that bears his name, the Scofield Bible. This Bible, this particular Bible and version, and you've got to understand Mr. Scofield's background, as we're going to examine the background of Judah. And from the Scofield versions comes the thought that everything that consisted of Israel, Yahweh's chosen, was Jewish. You've heard them. I've heard these evangelists, worldwide evangelists. And the Jews departed, and Moses took them down to the Red Sea, and God done a miracle for the Jews that day. And he opened up the way, and the Jews came out of Egypt. Have you ever heard that saying? That's Scofield influence. Done a lot of harm because he believed himself, as he was a Jew, that everything that's going to heaven is Jewish, and that's not true. Notice this particular verse of scripture of prophecy, and we'll examine it. There has to be an interpretation. The scepter will not depart until. Now, let me give you that again. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. Now, why, if Christ was a descendant of David, a Jew, as they say, and the Jews being the ones that had all of the blessings, and they're God's chosen people, you'll hear that, why did it say that the scepter will not depart from between his feet until the Messiah comes? Why did he catch that until? Now, the scepter would belong to Judah. It would be bestowed upon him. Not by Jacob. Jacob didn't bestow this upon him and give him the scepter. But he said it wouldn't depart from this individual. Actually, he's the fourth son from Jacob's strength, Judah. And we're talking about the birthright and to whom it belongs and where it should be placed. And we find that the Messiah is prophesied to come by Jacob, who ought to have known, and that the scepter would depart from Judah, not because that Judah owned it. Had he been given it rightfully, had he obtained it lawfully, let's say, why would it have departed if the bloodline of Judah and the bloodline of Christ was the same? Think about that. Genesis 49 and 10. Now, if it's established with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever, as it's related in Isaiah 9 and 7, Yahweh have sworn unto David, he will not repent, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne, that we read in Psalms 132:11. Now we've got a scepter here. We don't have the birthright, but it mentions the scepter wouldn't depart from Judah's tribe until. Now, if it would have been Judah's, and it was blood covenant spoken from the prophecy of the prophet here, Jacob, why did he say that that scepter would depart? Well, you say, well, that's easy understood, Pastor Buddy. In Christ, the end of the covenant, it would naturally go to Christ. And it would say that forever. And that's not what it says in the scripture. We're talking about prophetic utterance of covenant. We're trying to tie them together blood-wise so that the blood of Christ and the blood of David, we're doing this in between David and Judah, to give you a little refresher course, ladies and gentlemen. And we are taking into account that the Bible says that the scepter will not depart from who? Well, it says from Judah. Judah's going to be in charge of the scepter until. Now, listen to that. Judah is going to be in charge of the scepter until. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that until should be studied real close from those of you who would try to understand, if you will, the text of the statement that it wouldn't depart until the Messiah came. Now, if the Messiah came and the scepter departed to Christ, wherein is the scriptures that would prove that they were related blood-wise? I'm talking about direct descendant. Not from David. We got to start at what we call the head of the stream. If we go to the head of the stream, we'll see that Judah should have been the progenitor of. He should have been the progenitor of the blood of the Messiah. And that's not what it says. It says that scepter is going to depart from that household. Now, can we go back into the scriptures prophetically and prove that Joseph, the 11th descended son, the first from Rachel, by the way, that he would be there to possess the bloodline, or that he would be in the bloodline of the Messiah instead of Judah. So we got now, we enter the prophetic utterance to Joseph here in the book of Genesis 49, and it says in the 24th verse, beginning around the 22nd verse through the 24th, we see something here that's amazing. Here the bloodline is going to be from the blood of Joseph, not Judah or the Jew. And here, ladies and gentlemen, we have opposing thoughts and doctrine of those who would profess. Now, listen to me well. Those that would profess that Christ would come from Judah, those who have been trained to think that way by some erring prophet that had the ability to publish a certain text called Scofield, and Scofield, out of the school of thought that Christ was a Jew. How did the Jews really treat Christ?
They say, well, they, you know, Pastor Bud, they didn't like him. They killed him.
Well, for what reason does the Bible say, does it tell us exactly why that they wanted to kill the Messiah? Yes, it does. But very few ever preach about it. But what was it, Pastor Buddy? Where is the scripture at that they were saying or giving the reason for killing him? Didn't the Bible say that they said the Jews, who are bloodline descendants from Judah, by the way, that's why they're called Jews, come, let us kill him, that we may have his inheritance. Now, what would be the value of having the inheritance, although you don't deserve it? Well, the sympathies, the writers, the religious foundation is all built on false premises or a gestalt that was built by those who assumed that Christ was from the house of Judah, whom they really hated because they hated his doctrine. They said, come, let us kill him. Now, why would they do that, Pastor Buddy? He says, I will establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth forever, Isaiah 9 and 7. Now, if he's going to establish it with justice and truth, justice means truth, just truth, and fair judgment or true judgment, Christ hated a liar. That's basically what he called him in John 8:44. Your father is the devil. He was a liar and a murderer. When they said, oh, we're not born of fornication. So therefore, there was a conflicting thought or doctrine from the Jews who professed to be God's chosen lineage. But when you get into scriptures like it says in David 17:12 when we look at the scripture. Now, David was the son of an Ephraimite. Psalms number 673. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you can spread this on any more truthful than quoting the scripture that says emphatically here in 1 Samuel 17:12. That Jesse was an Ephraimite from descended from the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, who had the birthright. See, we got some problems here with those who think that Christ or David himself was Jewish. In Isaiah 11:1, here, let me give you this one. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now, the stem of Jesse was referring to the bloodline. There shall come someone from Jesse. Who was that? Christ? No, talking about David, who was the progenitor blood flowing from the veins of Joseph Ephraim. That from that bloodline would come the Messiah, and that the scepter would then depart when it was placed by everybody that thought it belonged to Judah. Did you know that Judah was a bully? Now, if Judah was a bully, and that's why he said, for he prevailed over his brethren. In the family, Judah was supreme, especially when he conspired with other brothers who hated Joseph and got Joseph out of the picture. And as soon as Joseph got out of the picture, Judah began to be praised with his brother. Even his brothers praised him as a mighty one. Because it said, he prevailed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem here of prevailing, meaning to be blood inflicted with dwelling or reigning over the family. They got rid of Joseph, and what happened? Judah took over. He got the big stick. He got the scepter. He didn't get the crown. He got the scepter, which is the symbol of authority. And he did that because the Bible says he prevailed over his brethren. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5. But the birthright, when it's placed properly, when you study the scriptures, when you pray, and you're putting yourself against every conceivable thought that opposes this thinking that Christ was not a Jew, you'll get a lot of criticism. You'll be hated for his namesake, which is tied to the blood of a promise in the covenant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, you'll see the lineage, and they spend a lot of time and effort there to prove that Christ came through the blood of Solomon. Now, when we examine Solomon, we find that Solomon loved many strange, that means women that was not of the blood of the family, and they were told specifically not to mix their blood with strangers, or to go out of the bloodline and have other bloodlines to come in to the lineage of Christ. Now, we know that Rachel died being the mother of Joseph. And she died in Bethlehem, which is Ephratah, not Bethlehem, Judea. Now, we talked about the Judea, Bethlehem, not even being on the map at the time of the Messiah. We examine here in John 11:54 that Christ spent his last 30 days on this planet in a city named after his blood kin, which was Ephraim, a city of Ephraim in the wilderness. It had lost its popularity because Jerusalem became the city that Judah loved because Judah had married a Canaanite and had some affiliation from the 30th chapter of the book of Genesis back to the people who ran Jerusalem, a place the Bible describes as Sodom. Now, you know what Sodom means? Where the Lord was crucified. In John 7:1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judah or Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. And I told you why that they wanted to kill him. Because they knew that he wasn't from Judah. Now, the argument continues in the 7th chapter of the book of John, the 40th verse. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." But others said, "This is the Messiah." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" When it's prophesied by the scribes in Matthew chapter 2, where they lied, the prophet never said that Christ would come out of the town of Bethlehem, Judea. But that's what the scribes said. They wanted to affiliate, since they've been a proud people and since they had carried the scepter so long that they knew the prophecy that it would depart from them and they would no longer be the chosen people, because the truth had prevailed over the lies that they had already told. But the Pharisees, they're smart. And the scribes, they said, when they heard the division among the people in John 7:47, they said, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him?" And in the 49th verse, these people who were praising Christ coming out of Galilee, and a division among them sprang up of that argument, was he a Galilean or was he a Judean? And they said, "Well, these people who knoweth not the law are cursed." And after Nicodemus, who came to him by night, sort of stood up for him, then the Pharisees and the scribes said unto him, "Are you also of Galilee? Search the scriptures and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Now, were they correct? That a prophet would not come out of Galilee? Well, if we go back to Micah, in chapter 5, verse 2, we have a different take of the scriptures quoted in Micah 5 and 2 compared to the second chapter of Matthew, where that they said that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, Judea. And this, we agree that the words of the prophets as it is written, after this, will I return and build again the tabernacle or the house of David, which is fallen down. I'll build it again, the ruins, and I will set it up, and they will be the fewest people. They will believe in the Galilean bloodline affiliated Messiah that descended from Ephraim as opposed to descending from Judah. Now, how are we going to compromise these two varying, widely disputed concerning which was talking about the Messiah, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's quite clear that the Messiah was of the root and the offspring of David. Now, catch that. Not only did he descend from David, he was the progenitor of David. Oh, my. This changes the flavor of the covenant real quick. As we go back to the book of Genesis, and we find where Isaac was conceived by Sarah when Yahweh visited her. Not when Abraham visited her, because he had tried. He had 99 years of trying. I don't know how long they've been married. Over 40 years of trying to get her pregnant. And she was not pregnated by Abraham, but by the seed of Yahweh who did unto her. Genesis 25 and verse 1 plainly says that at this time, Sarah is going to conceive. In other words, she's gonna have a child. But the great mystery of who was the father of that child? Was it Yahweh or was it Abraham? And I can just hear the tongues a-wagging and the moaning and the groaning. I mean, you know, the Pharisees and the Jews, they didn't even believe that this man we're talking about, the Messiah, Shiloh, that we're talking about, they didn't even believe that he was older than Abraham. Well, he ain't 50 years old. And you say you know Abraham? And Christ, the Messiah, Shiloh, said, "Before Abraham, I am." Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a God here that was able at that time to get a child through the womb of Sarah. Just like he was able in the second chapter of the book of Matthew, where he overshadowed Mary, same one, same probabilities, he did unto Sarah in the 21st chapter here of Genesis, And he did unto Mary here in the second chapter of Matthew. Bible said he overshadowed her. And she conceived. Well, if he was older than Abraham, was he old enough to get a baby? He said, oh, that's impossible, Pastor Buddy. Man, you're putting a twist on this. It couldn't happen. And yet, the Bible says it did. And the Bible proclaims that he did unto her, and she conceived. Now, we'll just let you decide what he did to her. Say, well, that means he would have taken a married woman. She was married to Abraham. But would it have been adultery for Yahweh, who created both of them, to be the father of the fruit of their body? I don't think so. Why have you made me thus, saith the clay? Can the clay say to the potter, why have you done this? Well, what about the lineage of Ruth? What about Obed, the father of Jesse? What about Boaz, the father that begot Obed, who begot Jesse? What bloodline were they from? All of them, without exception. That's why that I've got an offering out there for you, waiting on you. If you haven't done your homework, I'll do it for you if you'll trust the word. And if you don't trust it, go and look. Go to Ruth chapter 1. See if Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, see if they were Ephraimites. Song number 672 of Descended from Ephraim, Joseph, the birthright. That's where Christ came from. He came from a royal blood designated by the promise. And this promise holds true today with a few. Now, we're not the many who believe that the Jew bloodline is the bloodline that Christ came from. They can't prove it, but they believe it because they believe such false prophets as the individual that I was telling you about, the Scofield, and other theological schools of thought that really took up his saying and said, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus came from David, and David was a Jew. Abraham was a Jew. Isaac was a Jew. And Jacob was a Jew. But that which is conceived in her womb is of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost impregnated Mary, but couldn't impregnate Sarah. Where we get a bloodline, where the scripture said Christ made this statement, I am the root and the offspring of David. The root sustains the tree. Not only was he the offspring of David, we find and inject here in scripture that he was the root of David. That he was the founding bloodline to David. No wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that this doctrine is so far above the head of those who fail to study. How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? And, you know, everybody believes that. For David himself said by the Holy Spirit that Yahweh said unto me, sit on my right hand. And I will make your enemies your footstool. David himself calls him Yahweh, and whence then would he have been his son when he is the root as well as the offspring, and the common people heard him gladly. He was the root of David. Ladies and gentlemen, he says here in Matthew 12:38, in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Beware of them, because they may lead you astray. They may deceive you. They may cast a pit in your field of vision, and you may fall into it. Here it's promised, I will sit upon the throne of David, I will sit upon the throne of David, and out of his flesh, or out of his tabernacle, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, a root from the stem of Jesse, who was an Ephraimite. Amalek was an Ephraimite. His sons were Ephraimites. Obed and Jesse were Ephraimites. And Christ descended from that bloodline, not through Solomon, who loved many strange women, but he came through Solomon's brother, as we find in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 38. I will never want for a man to sit up on the throne of the house of Israel. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever, because the zeal or the ability of Yahweh will perform this. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Isaiah 11:1, as I've done read you. The key of the house of David, this is the key to it now, is to know his bloodline. If you find out David's bloodline, you'll find out the bloodline of Shiloh, or the Messiah, who would descend, but this one that descended from David, progenitored David before he came into the world through David's flesh. I will lay upon the key of the house of David, I will take from the bloodline of David, I'll lay it upon the shoulder of the Messiah, and he will open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. Isaiah 22:22. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to study the Bible to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, for thy servant's sake shall turn not away of the face of thine anointed. Yahweh hath sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it, that of the fruit of thy body, or the blood of thy body, David, will I set upon the throne. He's right there right now. He's a descendant and a progenitor. Not only did he descend from David's bloodline, he created David's specific kingly bloodline. Oh, this is amazing.
The truth is so far out of the reach.
But for the children that will keep his covenant and his testimony, I will teach them. And their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. 1 Chronicles 11:1. And all the children of Israel gathered themselves to David in Hebron, saying, Behold, we are of thy bone and thy flesh. So let me ask you a question. In this kingly bloodline that came and was known as Ephraimites, a specific bloodline that you don't hear anything about that progenitored Christ, and Christ progenitored the bloodline himself. It was of his own blood, according to the Bible and according to what we read here in the scriptures. And I will be to them their God. And my servant, the Messiah, an offspring of David, a prince among them. I spoke it, and I will perform it. In Hosea 3:5, afterwards shall the children of Israel return. You see, we've got to get back to the truth. We've got to come away and quit walking with those that believe that the bloodline of David and Christ, the progenitor, or the offspring, was of the blood of Judah. It just wasn't happening. Therefore, it automatically puts you into a minority. You're opposed by all of the traditional churches of denomination, including the Catholic Church, the Universal Church of the Catholic. From them, those that hated the whore. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem. And the only way to solve it is turn to the truth and start preaching the truth. I'm hated for it. He says, I will pour out upon the house of David. That's that little house that was insignificant. Bethlehem Ephratah and Bethel. Right where the birthright, the son, inherited. He's the firstborn, ladies and gentlemen. And in the 6th month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, which was only 7 miles from Bethel, Bethlehem. Oh, my. I got to close. Can't cover this. Praise Yahweh. I can't give it adequate time to enlighten. I hope and trust that if you've got any questions, you'll call Pastor Buddy here in Sweetwater, Tennessee. You can write me or call me. Let me give you my telephone number. Area code 423-351-1082. Now that's 423-351-1082. If you'd like to write me, you can do so. Just simply put Pastor Buddy on your letter and address it to Post Office Box 568. You want to go to heaven? You need the truth. You can't go without it. Card saying, who can hear it? I ain't come to bring peace. Every time I preach, I make people mad. I come to bring division. And Yahweh's anointed me to do that. Not, I don't want to do that. I like to be loved and accepted. But just like him, I'm hated and rejected because of this doctrine. Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, with a zip being 37874. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, who was an Ephraimite, according to 1 Samuel 17:12. according to Ruth chapter 1, in the first 5 verses, that the Ephraimite bloodline, who David was descended from, matter of fact, Ruth and Obed, was the great-great-grandparents of David. And he said, I will lay the key of the house of David upon the shoulder of the descendant that comes from him and from his flesh, and he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. It's like a nail in a sure place. He will provide a righteous throne to his father's house. And all those that see this light will manifest into the few that he calls and glorifies as vessels to be cleaned and to be washed, to be sanctified and baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of the sins upon the house of Jacob Israel, who fathered us all into the world through the bloodline of Isaac, and from that he became the author and the finisher. In other words, he's the root and the offspring. And if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall sit upon my throne forevermore. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful promise, because we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Yahweh bless you, give you understanding. Go to our website. Brother Bob would want me to remind you, and I'll do that tonight. We have a fabulous website put together by Brother Bob and his long hours of work to keep it up to date. All the messages is there that I've done for the last 10 years or so. They've been marked there for your understanding. We have articles related to truth, we think, because we're promised that he will set one shepherd over us and he will feed us. So this is part of the ministry that we have in going to our website, oneyahweh.com. You can't miss it. Type in oneyahweh.com, and we're going to be the first ones that come up and light up the search engine that you're using. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll find this article that I've spoken from tonight up there with scriptures to prove that the Messiah is from the house of David's blood, and that the Messiah, who descended from David, was also the progenitor of David. That's what blows people away. They can't handle this. It's so unreal. They can't grasp it. It's not been taught and put together in the light of them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high visited us in the flesh body, descending from David. He also was the progenitor of David from the covenant blessings of the house of Joseph. May Yahweh bless you. I'll see you next Saturday night around the world. WWCR 5890. Yahweh bless.